episode of We the People Radio. This is the second hour, but it's a new topic. So it's kind of like two different shows.
Yeah.
And we're airing live on July 17th, 2022.
Yeah, don't mess it up or I'll whistleblow on you.
We learned about that the first hour. Bill's gearing up. He's going to tattle on me.
I'm building my case.
Yeah, you work on that. I've got the password to your phone.
Hey, so my name's Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. And if you need John Deere equipment, go up and give them a look over. They've got everything in the yard you could possibly need, from tractors to lawnmowers to zero-turn mowers, attachments, fully staffed service department, parts department. They do it all up there. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. There you go.
I like it when it's time for the commercial and I don't say anything and I just look at you and then you don't say anything.
Yeah.
Because then when I say something, he says, I'm bugging him. So go see.
It's a rare moment.
It could go either way.
When I talk and you don't have anything to say, I agree.
So this hour we're going to talk about water. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about water, I think, needless to say. And out here in the West, in a drought year, you know, people have a tendency to believe that just water, I don't know, just comes from the faucet.
Yeah,
you know, they forgot it had to come out of the sky before it came out of the faucet. And, you know, there's a kind of a rhythm to the whole thing. But we have a couple of people here from the Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District. And I know that a lot of people who listen are not in an irrigation district. So we'll talk a little bit about what is an irrigation district and why would you be in one, and kind of how that works and how it doesn't work. We have a how it works and a how it doesn't work guest. So we have Brenda Haynes with how it works, and we have Ray Eliante with how it doesn't work. I think that's how we figured that out at the beginning. So Brenda, you've been on the ACID board for a long time.
Since 2002.
Wow. Well,
20 years.
You must really like it.
I'm devoted.
Good thing it's radio. It's like, yeah. No, I mean, it's important. And you can't just have people cycling on and cycling off. There's a lot to know. There is a lot to know.
We are very thankful for Brenda. She is relentless. She's determined. She's hardworking. And unfortunately, a lot of the people out there who are throwing darts at her, to say it mildly, don't understand how intricate this is, and what we need going forward for 2024 and 25, the state requirements.
Yeah.
She'd be a loss.
I don't think people understand how much of an impediment the government is to all of this. And the folks that that deal with the government directly, so a lot of our ranchers and farmers that are getting the curtailments this year on their ability to use water, those types of things are also happening to water districts. So if you live in a town, well, you could live in a town and be on a water district. But if you're on a municipal water system, basically your water does kind of come from the faucet, comes from your municipal water in your town. But if you're a water district, that's its own form of government.
Yes, it is. Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District is a California special district, which means it is not governed by, it is governed by a board. And in our situation, it's a board of five people elected by the voters who
live in that district.
And each director lives in the division of ACID that they are representing. So you can't go to your board of supervisors and cry to them. They have no jurisdiction. Neither does state senator or a congress member, city council member, because we are autonomous. ACID is autonomous. However, having said that, we still have to abide by all the laws, regulations. Endangered Species Act is the one that's really hit us in this situation.
Boo.
Yeah. That's the one that's caused the problem today. Mm-hmm.
Well, and let's not forget that in California, I know a lot of the listeners are not in California, but just to be clear, you know, 50% of our water goes right out to the ocean for the fish. So we're wasting 50% of our water. So
It's the third leg of the tier that is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very.
Yep. And so then, you know, of course, we're having a drought, blah, blah, blah. Ray, how long have you been on this board?
I'm a newbie.
Are you?
I'm still learning, a year and a half.
You're still trying to figure out how to get off?
I'm asking why I got on.
Yeah. That's a nicer way of putting it.
I had no idea what I got myself into.
Why did you do it? Just out of curiosity, what district or division? You're in Division 4.
I'm in Division 4. I had issues getting some work completed on my own property. Mm-hmm. I saw waste, and I saw, to me, it was a lot of frustration. I was approached by Brenda and asked me if I wanted to run. I gave it great consideration. My wife actually pushed me, thought I would be good at it.
No, wives never push their husbands. Brenda, you never do that. I know I never do it. Shut up, Bill.
I lean on her in so many ways because she's usually right. You know, so with this, it's much larger than I thought. The mechanics of it, the moving parts, the depth, the requirements, it is just staggering. It is really staggering. For me to get what Brenda has, it's going to take at least 10 years.
To soak it all up.
And I'm not doing it.
Well, I'm just telling you right now, I'm not doing it. Well, there you go. Spoiler alert. You heard it here first.
Yep. Well, I think a lot of people don't realize if you, depending on where you live, if you don't have a well, if you're outside a municipal water district or water area like City of Reading or something like that, you're in a water district. You don't have a choice. You don't get to pick what water district you're in, depending on your location.
You don't get to shop it.
No, you're in that water district, and so you have to basically comply to the rules and regulations of that water district. Mm-hmm. I know we were in a water district, a place we used to live, and we put in a well. Well, we were connected to the water district, and immediately we were told you can't have a well if you're connected to the water district water. So
even though they were totally separate, one went to the house and one went to the property.
Yep. So we had to disconnect. Well, we had the choice. We could either disconnect or keep our well, and we elected to keep the well. But those are the types of things you run into when you're in a water district. You have to comply to a certain set of rules. Everybody has to comply to the same rules.
Well, and so we should start at the very beginning. So water district water they don't have an unlimited supply. It doesn't come from a magic faucet somewhere. Starts in the river.
Right. And ACID has a 40-year contract with the federal government, the Bureau of Reclamation. That contract goes until 2045. And that contract sets out exactly how much water ACID can divert out of the river every year. And in our
case, does that change every year, or does that it's set?
That is set in good water years. So as long as we have the rainfall, Mother Nature and the government didn't screw it up and take too much water for other purposes. As long as there is the right amount of water and it's all called out in the contract, we can take 125,000 acre-feet of water a year. But then it's broken down in the contract that's on our website. It's broken down by month. So in the month of April, we can divert 8,000 acre-feet. In the month of May, 10,000 acre-feet, and so forth.
But that is also dependent on rainfall. They can change that. Is that correct?
And that's exactly what happened. So last year, we didn't have enough water behind the dam to give all pre-1914 water right holders their full allotment of water. So we only got 75% last year.
Oh.
And ACID did a fine job of dispersing that water so that our farmers were happy. The growers didn't really even know that we had a 75% water allotment because they all got their fields wet. Everybody was happy. This year it was a different story because this is the third year of a drought. So Mother Nature played a huge role in this debacle. So there was not enough water, volume of water behind Shasta Dam to give all pre-1914 water right holders, ACID is only one of them, from Shasta Dam all the way down Sacramento River to Sacramento. We can't take a lion's share and leave somebody else high and dry. That is not the way it works. So the Bureau had to come up with an amount of, that would be equitable for all pre-1914 water right holders. So this wasn't just, it was not the AC, that's one thing I want to make a real point of. The ACID board did not determine 18%. That was determined by the Bureau, state water agencies, several of them, representatives from all the pre-1914 water right holders all the way up and down the river, and legal counsels. We got the best water law firms in the state of California. All of them are representing one or the other of these pre-1914 water customers. So it's a great team of experts working on this. And they started in January. This didn't just happen overnight.
You didn't wait till there was no water?
Because we didn't get the rain in November and December and then January. And so people that were living under a rock, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but my gosh, did they not notice it didn't rain?
And when were you told what your allotment would be, or does that continually change?
If I could add, just last year when we had our water curtailed to 75%, that was end of August. We had a early fall rain, which carried us to the end of the season, but that was the only rain we received.
Right.
Into the winter. That was it.
That was the end of it. Right.
Yeah. And so to ask your question, Bill, last year, beginning of last year, when we saw that would perhaps be a curtailment, we started to notify our customers, our partners, with email, letters, just telling them, hey, we may have a curtailment. We never knew this would happen. So we were preparing beginning of last year for some curtailment, notifying people that this is going to happen since we're in a third year drought.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, as Brenda has said, it's not just the rainfall, but it's what the rainfall brings, and that's snowpack. And we didn't
get no late water in the river.
Didn't get either, because the snowpack is critical to filling the dam after the rain passes.
Yeah, it's not like every year starts at 100%, and then you decide what percentage of 100% you're going to get.
Correct.
It doesn't work like that.
Right. No, very good, Ray. So these, every year, the Bureau starts the end of January and gives a prediction. And we all pay attention, although it's subject to a lot of changes, because that's just entering our rainy season. So then mid-February, they give another prediction, the end of February, and probably about the middle of March. But it's set every year. It's the same time. So we watch these predictions. Well, everybody knew in January, everybody who was paying attention to the weather and the river, just drive up to the dam and look.
Mm-hmm.
So they with these predictions, the meeting started, the negotiation started, planning ahead. So like I told you, all those entities were meeting beginning in January, and it was looking not too good, but they thought, well, maybe they make the 75, and then it came no more rain, maybe 50%, and it, as we progressed through the spring with no rain, it just got worse and worse. So it was determined with all these folks in the room, many open meetings. Someone said just the other day, behind closed doors.
Never happened.
Yes.
Never happened.
Well, there are rules about that, too.
There
so
is.
It isn't just like it would
there,
be in
there. There is.
Yeah.
Fake news.
Yeah. There are rules about that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's good to, you know, though, this topic is no different than pretty much everything else that's out there. There's so much stuff that's off the rails that people will believe kind of almost anything. I mean, there comes a point where, you know.
Well, that's what's happened here is, there are a lot of folks on wells in the whole South County of Shasta. Anybody that's outside the city limits of Anderson is on a well, except way down in the south part of Cottonwood. So all of a sudden, folks, their wells started going dry here and there, and they may not even be ACID customers. They had no idea that their personal well was being recharged with irrigation water every year.
Oh.
So it was an eye-opener for folks. Should not have been an eye-opener for folks who were irrigators, because they should be watching. Farmers always watch the weather. They know what's going on. So when their wells started drying and people started coming out of the woodwork, they were just desperate and at the end of the rope. And they were mad. They're frustrated, angry. Their grass is drying. Trees are dying. And they wanted a pound of flesh from somebody. They didn't care who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because somebody better make water show
better
up.
Better make it rain.
We have so much information on our website. We have said the same thing over and over again. And it's as if, not that they're not listening, it's that they don't want to listen.
Well, and it doesn't impact them until it impacts them.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's a panic.
Yeah, we were hoping for 50% distribution in April, but end of March. And early April, they gave us the drastic news, and we disseminated that information within a day.
Yeah. If you can't get it, you can't get it. Yeah.
Well, if they won't let us have it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
and we need to talk about what those percentages mean, because I think that's often misunderstood as well. But we have to take a really quick break. So we have a special song for the Bureau of Reclamation I thought we should play, because it's one of my favorites. And it doesn't always work, but it'll work today. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at We the People.
A sweet old lady was 84 when her kin folks came for a month or more. Now from overwork, she's on the other shore. Much too late was y'all come back, and it says in the Farmer's Almanac, it says, visitors and fish smell after 3 days. Our leader was a silver-tongued man. He deceived the people of the land. And when he got caught, he couldn't stand. It's a little offbeat and a little off track, but it says in the Farmer's Almanac, it says, in rivers and bad government, the lightest things float to the top.
Crack the code. I figured out the shadow war organizations and the Illuminati know that they're finally primed for world domination. And soon you've got black helicopters coming across the border, puppet masters for the new world order. Be aware, there's always someone that's watching you. And still the government won't admit they fake a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning. Don't mind that. I'm protected because I made this hat from aluminum foil. Where I had this foil line in case an alien's inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar. Seems a little crazy. Someday I'll prove there's a big conspiracy.
And unfortunately, that's what the whole world looks like right now. And most of the conspiracies we thought were conspiracies turned out to be true, so we got to come up with new ones.
How did that go? How do you tell the difference between a conspiracy yesterday and today?
Yeah, right. Okay. They're all the same. Right? Yesterday, it's news now.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, you guys get caught in the crossfire of that a little bit, because there's so much stuff that is, you know, off the rails. So when you get water, my microphone won't do that. It's being difficult. Talk about the volume, because people think if you have any water, it should go down the canal. And that's a huge misunderstanding. How much water does it take to make a canal, you know, have water enough to get to people? I guess, does that...
Well, the perfect example of that is in the month of April, when we've had strong north winds drying everything out. Everybody's ready for that first water. They need it for the first cutting of hay. It's critical.
Mm-hmm.
So the contract allots 8,000 acre feet in a good year. We always, until this year, have rescheduled water out of the month of October, put it into the month of April. I don't know why that was done long before my time, but that's just the way it's always been. The Bureau has always allowed that retransfer of water into April. So just take the 8,000 we're entitled to. Only this year we're entitled to 18% of 8,000.
Oh.
So that's only 1,440.
Yeah.
Oops. For the whole month of April. Not just one time, dump it in there. It's for the whole month of April.
And the canal is how long?
35 miles.
35 miles. Okay, that's yeah.
So that's not enough to even filled with canal.
Get past ground motors.
Right.
And so, how much of it is absorbed by the canal itself? How much of it goes into the ground?
That's the big problem.
And evaporation.
Ray is right. That is a problem for conveying water to customers. But it's also the reason why we're allowed to have 125,000 acre feet every year, because it's been quantified that because of the earthen canals, 77,000 acre feet go into the aquifer, into the water table below us every summer. That's a lot of water.
Which benefits all the neighboring wells. It benefits all sorts of stuff. Sure. Mm-hmm.
That we're finding now, keeping these trees alive, all these trees that are less than 100 years old, because ACID's been here 108 years. So all trees that are less than 100 years old and don't have a lawn or something, somebody sprinkling it with city water, they're dying because they're used to having, from April until Halloween, they're used to having
canal water.
Canal water and ground table high under their little roots. This year, they don't have that. The older oaks are doing just fine because they're down below.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about the ugly part. So you're going to have a super small amount of water, not enough to actually get to anybody. Unless you carry it to them in buckets, it's not going to be able to get down the canal to your patrons. So you might, in that instance, it might be smarter to sell it.
Yes.
I think this is where the wheels come off.
This is where the wheels, some of them came off for some people, not for us, because we understood what the situation was. But when it was determined by all those folks I said, a whole conglomeration and many, many meetings over 5 or 6 months, 3 or 4 months, when it was determined that we had 18%, then our board sat down thinking, what can we do with 18%? So we had three options. One option is leave it in the river. Don't bother to take it out because it costs money to take it out, electricity for the pumps in Churn Creek. And we could leave it in the river. It goes out under the Golden Gate, and the end result is
adios.
Zero benefit, zero water. Mm-hmm. The second option was we could divert it, take it out from North Reading, where our dam is, put it in the canal. And like we discussed earlier, it's only going to go as far as the outside of city limits of Reading.
So it's not going to get to anybody who's going to use it.
Yeah. It will not recharge any wells. It will not get to one customer. So therefore, option number one is no water, no benefit. Option number three, and there are only three. So option number three was we could market that water to somebody who is able to take it out. And that's what we chose to do. So we ended up with selling that water. We ended up with no water, but we got $7.5 million in benefits.
Brenda, can you please explain how that came about? Because that's something we've never done before, and it may be something we can't do in the future.
That is true. So the 18% equates to 22,500 acre feet of water, and that is not our project water. Of the 125,000 acre feet of water we get, 4,000 of that is project water, and that has been marketed every year. Always been marketed. Our customers never got
that. Define that. What's project water?
That's the water that came about during with the Central Valley Project, mm-hmm. CVP. So that's water that has been sold to City of Reading, City of Shasta Lake, Bella Vista Water District, and Shasta Community Services District. So those four entities have purchased that water varying years, depending on when we entered those contracts, so somewhere near from $70 an acre foot to $90, and then each year maybe a 3% kicker. So,
and so you don't have a choice. You're obligated to those contracts.
We are obligated in a good year, but they also suffer the same curtailment. So then of the 121,000 acre feet, what Ray is alluding to, that is base supply. And that has never been allowed to be sold. The Bureau this year, and that's a good point, Ray, this is the first and only time, the Bureau told me it's not setting a precedent, the first time we've ever been able to sell that water. Had the Bureau of Reclamation not allowed us to sell that, we would have, option number three would have been the same as option one and two. Zero and zero.
Right.
So that allocate that, that water we were allowed to sell actually went to humanitarian needs, not hogs, not almond trees. It could only be for humanitarian needs within the cities that needed drinking water. And then we were accused of not selling it for enough. So when do you become a good neighbor and do the right thing?
Right.
So when the water district makes money, you guys all go on vacation, right?
You've been listening to the fake news, right?
I was, too. I was channeling fake news there for a second.
We have to bring our own pens and paper to the meetings, let alone water.
I was wearing my special hat.
Yeah, I guess.
So the water district makes money. How does that benefit the patrons of the water district? Because it doesn't just go in a hole somewhere. And you certainly don't give it immediately back to the government. I guess we all do eventually, but...
Hopefully not. We use it for the district.
So it goes to do repairs upkeep.
The district was built in 1914, and it looks like it was built in 1914. It needs serious repairs, some of which we've been having people hammer at us to line the ditches, but as we know now, or they know now, you do that, you don't have your well water. So there's a lot of...
Yeah, because this is the year that's the experiment, right?
That's right. So there's a lot of things to consider there. We are in the third year of a drought. Based on what we're seeing, and this is the sad, absolute, scary truth, what we're looking at right now, maybe next year as well. We don't know what we're facing. We're not going to be in a hurry to allocate that money. We have to do what's right for the district. And that can go in a number of different directions.
If you are allocated 18% next year, can you use that money to buy more?
We did some due diligence on what could we do. Could we go out and buy water? And it was determined it would have cost us $12 million to replace the water that we needed this year if we could find it. But that was the problem. You couldn't find it.
Yeah. So it'll be the same situation next year. If you take what you're allocated and then use this money to buy more, you still might not have enough.
Well, in addition to that, you have all the different government agencies, red tape and permitting that you have to go through. Mm-hmm. It could take 6 months or a year to get approval. By then, your season's passed.
Right. Tricky business.
Oh, it's
kind
terrible.
Of a no-win.
Well, we have one individual who says we were promised water rights. I think he was born in 1914, and he's acting like it still. But and that was on purpose. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This individual has attacked us in so many ways. He's strutting his stuff. He is saying so much fake news and slander that I personally have had it.
Okay, so tell us some of the things. Let me just tell you
one in particular.
Sure.
The president of the board has been serving this district faithfully for 20 years. His recent attacks is that she's not in the district. Her property was annexed in the district 17 and a half years ago. Closed-door meetings, taking the money and running with it. These are things that don't help at all.
Yeah, no.
We have reached out so many times with an olive branch. We have done so many things to try to say, folks, listen, we're fortunate to have had this money. We could have had zero and no water.
Yeah, right.
Not one thank you. Not one thank you, but attacks. At the last meeting, one lady said, she's the problem. She's the glue.
Are you screwing up the rain?
She's the
glue.
Is
it you? You're the anti-rain dance?
There's five men on the board, and she's the toughest one. She gets the job done. You know?
The bottom line is there's no water. You can't.
Well, there's no water. We're at a point where there's no water, and there's been bad management for years. It's the perfect lack of precipitation storm.
Yeah,
bad
sure.
Management at the bureau level.
Oh, well, I think the main culprit is the fisheries, mm-hmm. Water temperature.
Oh God!
Right.
I've only lived here 20 years, but I've met several old timers who have said that they would cross the Sacramento in the summer on their horses.
Mm-hmm.
I've met people who would swim in the water holes in Sacramento. Fish came back every year. Every year.
Yeah,
I live on Cottonwood Creek. 20 years ago, you could cross Cottonwood Creek in the fall on the back of the salmon. Today, there's no salmon.
Right.
If they cared about the fish, we'd have reservoirs up creek. So it really is bad management,
Yep.
And
well, we continually and habitually let water out of all of our sources up in Northern California in the high water times. Because that's what it says on their paper. It says they must do it right now, so therefore they do it. And it's like, hey, guys, what if it doesn't rain? Like, then what? And it's like there's no thought given to what if, because all the agencies, you know, the fish and the this and the that and the tribes, let's if you could get reach, that in there too.
If you could reach behind you and grab your tinfoil hat, because you're going to need to put it on me right now.
Yeah.
But I don't subscribe to global warming, but I subscribe
what?
I subscribe to seasonal changes. And we have changes.
Well, I'm going to change my song now. I'm going to pick a new one.
Yeah. We have seasonal changes, and some of them are 2,600 to 3,600 years old. Pick a number between 3,000 years. Some people have done studies on the rise and falls of nations tied to these cyclical changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so then we have the second tier of that. The second tier of that, if you want to subscribe to it or not, is weather engineering or global engineering, geoengineering.
Right.
And then the third is government intervention. Now, if the government knows that we have these cycles and they do nothing, that's just bad management.
Well, they do nothing different. And then, I mean, right. I don't know if people realize, but, you know, we're managing the water being released out of Shasta Dam based on the temperature for the fish.
That's my point.
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Like, whether they let it out the top of the dam or the bottom of the dam, and it doesn't go through the hydro when you let it out the one. So we're skipping the ability to generate hydropower while we micromanage the temperature of the water in the river. And, you know, it's funny because every year at Easter, you know, if you go to the Easter Mass, like Easter, what do you call it? Easter evening, what's it called? Anyway, whatever the hell it is. And they read all the readings from Genesis. Not one of them says, and God created man to maintain the temperature of the river for the fish. Like, I listen every year for that, and it's still the same.
Still not there. Still
it just
not
says
there.
There's going to be fish. I mean, boom, there's going to be fish. And we're supposed to be the boss of it all. We're doing a terrible job of that. In some cases, we're literally making rules and doing management for extinction.
Well, it's we have gotten to a point, critical tipping point, of incrementalism, leftist incrementalism, that has gotten us to this point now. When you have a you know, the perfect non-precipitation storm,
yep,
and bad management, it's scary.
You will move into the city. You will
and right now
you will live in your tiny apartment, or else.
Right.
Are you giving me hand signals? Bill's giving me hand signals.
Right now in Shasta County, this is dire and this is scary. But if you look at the entire west coast of Colorado, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you're aware of what's happening in Lake Powell, Lake Mead. They're saying early 2023, 40 million people in Southern California, Las Vegas, Nevada, Arizona aren't going to have any water.
Right.
Yeah. 40
million people.
Look at Lake Mead. I mean, it's what the lowest point's ever been.
Right.
I mean, since they put the dam in.
And yet, we oppose storage at every turn. And they want to take out the Klamath dams. Not that they hold that much water back. But, I mean, up in that system, I had a guy called the other day and demanding that we do more for the fish. What? They have the best lobby going. They've got the entire federal government, the whole state government. They've got, they're pretty well covered. But, you know, then if they want to take the dams out, the state actually passed a law that they could eliminate all of them. They're endangered, but you know what? During dam removal, you can kill them all. That's okay. So, honestly,
it's not about the fish.
It just gets dumber and dumber and dumber, and it isn't about the fish. And that, I guess, is my best example.
Right.
When you can pass a law that says, go ahead and kill them all. Really? How does mm-hmm. that make any sense?
Right.
So the gods have decreed we shall take a break. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Here's your global warming song, the
array,
special song for you.
Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel pumping. Black water keep rolling on fast, just the same.
Oh, black water keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on?
Oh, black water keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, Blackwater, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
If we had some global warming,
if we had some global warming,
it wouldn't be 20 below,
it wouldn't be 20 below.
If we had some global warming,
if we had some global warming,
I wouldn't be shoveling snow,
I wouldn't be shoveling that blasted snow.
If we had some global warming,
if we had some global warming.
There you go. So if we did, we would have more snow here. But you know what? A lot of places in the country did get a lot of snow, just not here.
Yeah,
so apparently global warming is selective.
And that's what happened here. We were watching the weather reports week after week after week. Storms would be approaching, and they'd peel off and go over Oroville to the east way or on the Trinity side. And we did not get the rain above the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, okay, let's fast forward. So nothing changes. We go to next year.
And that's a possibility. I was looking at a weather report the other day that showed the last 80 years that they've been tracking all this stuff, and there have been 8 times when they had a dip in the rainfall, then the next year a dip in the rainfall. And then of those 8 times, 6 of them had, like 1977 was one of them, was a horrible drought. Well, in 1978, the lake filled almost biblical proportions. The rain came and fixed the problem, 1978. But then 2 of those 8 times, it's been followed by a third El Niña. No, La Niña. I'm learning the difference between those two. La Niña. The rainfall has gone down. Well, right now, if you see these projections where our rainfall has been, we're already below those 2 that went down.
Hmm.
So it doesn't really mean that we couldn't have a 1978 year. It just means statistics are showing that we could have a triple dip and we would be in a bad way for next year.
Mm-hmm. So if you are a person who has property, house, whether you have animals or whatever, and your water comes from a water district that doesn't have water, I'm guessing that yelling at you guys doesn't actually make more water. Just going to say that out loud. I'm pretty sure that that's not actually going to change the trajectory, right?
No. People need to really see the signs of the times, and preparations are needed.
Well, speaking of preparations, yes. I was speaking to a well driller here a few months ago, and they're over a year, and one of them was 18 months before they could even look at your property to put a well in. They're that backed up.
Mm-hmm.
So, well drilling equipment, you think, well, heck, I'm going to get in the well drilling business. If you ordered a brand new well drilling rig today, you get it in about 5 years. That's how backed up they are. So that's not really an option at this point.
It's not a solution.
I know people are trying to make their wells deeper and so forth. There's just not enough people out there to do that work. So,
what option do you guys have available to you through the water district? I mean, you've exercised them, right?
Well, we don't have any way to help folks with providing water to them, either for their stock, which never was ACID's forte in the first place. And there are state and federal programs. Anytime we learn about those things, we're putting them on the web page, and there are several listed there now. But as far as, we don't have rain, we don't have water, and it's out of our control.
There was a story, this was a couple of months ago, that there's towns over on the coast, I want to say over by Willits in that area. They're pretty much dependent on tourism. And their hotel industry over there, their bed and breakfast industry, they're cutting back on their capacity, and they're having water trucked in because their wells are so low they can't, they don't have enough water to fill their hotel with people and taking showers and so forth. There's not enough water. So they're having to buy water and have it delivered in trucks and put in storage tanks to just stay in business. So this isn't just ACID.
No, but meanwhile, let's not forget my favorite people, the evil dope growers. You have millions of gallons of water being siphoned out of our waterways and out of large ag wells in different places that's being delivered by truck.
By truck.
To big cartel marijuana grows.
And not to jump back, the state's not
doing anything about that.
The state's not doing anything about, I don't know, understand that, but they're leaving them alone.
No one does.
But if you look back at Lake Powell and Lake Mead and the reservoirs above Lake Powell, it's like the government's finance department, right? You have a debt that's due, so you borrow from another source and pay that debt. But all this water that's being shipped from one source to another, the source is going dry.
Yep.
The source is going dry. Answer your previous question, and what can we do? My spiritual connection with my wife, I know she's on the radio right now listening, and she's saying, pray, pray. So I'm passing that message along. That's one thing we can do. It's the one thing we have hope in, because it's dire.
Yeah.
It is.
And these things don't last forever. I mean, I don't think we're headed for an extinction event, but in the meantime, people have gotten used to a certain level of a lot of things, a certain level of water, a certain level of property that they can use that's irrigated for animals and different things like that. All of a sudden, you can't get the water.
Well, the L.A. Basin.
They sell in their animals? You got a lot of people doing that?
Yeah, they're already gone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm assuming.
The L.A. Basin originally was sand dunes. I mean, it was desert down there, and when they figured out how to irrigate and get water to it, they turned it into this lush paradise. Well, now all of a sudden you have Lake Mead, you have their water sources all drying up, and they're going to be in the same shape. And where do you think they're going to go for water?
If it wasn't for the price of fuel, I might go in the dune buggy industry.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, the environmental community and the folks on that side of the line want to get rid of all of our dams. That is a stated objective, is to get rid of all the dams. Can you imagine?
And when you understand that, and all this incrementalism that's happened through the years, how can you attack directors who are trying to manage?
Yeah, water that they can't get.
Yeah.
I believe this is all caused by politics, 100% politics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I shouldn't say 100%.
Mismanagement.
98%, 2% Mother Nature. We can deal with droughts. We've done that. That's what the dams were there for, to deal with the fluctuation in Mother Nature.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I don't think a lot of people realize that the Central Valley Project, which includes Lake Shasta, Trinity Lake, Whiskeytown, that project was put in place to support farming. That was the number one purpose of the Central Valley Project.
And now it's supporting the other F word.
No, it was to support farming. The number two was hydropower, and number three was recreation. And who's screaming the loudest right now? It's the folks with their boats that have to, you know, use secondary ramps, and it's horrible.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah. Well, and
there's not nearly enough given to farmers. Cause, I mean, that's what the water was being held back for, and flood control. But the number one reason for that was water for the farmers. And we're shutting the farmers down now.
And we're doing that everywhere, in deference in most cases, in many cases, for the fish. So that's real nice. We're gonna have all these fish, but there'll be nothing to eat. And by the way, you can't eat them because they're endangered, except for the coho salmon that we're ruining the world for. And you can buy them at Costco, and they have smoked coho at Winco now. So apparently you can eat the endangered species. They're available for
this,
your
this
freezer.
Whole nonsense about fish is to destroy agriculture and the rural way of life, just like the spotted owl was used to destroy our timber industry.
And that worked well.
Yeah, it was very effective.
Yeah,
our attorney refers to them as cubicle people. they
That's
don't
much
like,
nicer than the pod people.
They don't like farmers. They don't like ranchers. They live in a different world.
Yeah. Well, yeah, food comes
divorce
from
reality.
Food comes from the store, right? Just
That's
like
right.
water comes from the faucet.
That's right.
So water might come from your water district. So for the people that that are thinking about moving out to a piece of property, they should do some checking. Where does their water originate?
And where do you,
will they have any?
Where do you go?
I'm noticing like there's a lot of property for sale, and you look at where it is, and if you live in that area, you look and you go, ooh, that'd be a bad choice.
Well, we knew some folks that bought property that was on a well, and they had holding tanks, and we talked to them about it, and they said, oh, yeah, we have a well, and our, you know, it pumps up these tanks, fills the tanks up, and I said, really, how much does your well produce? About 8 gallons a minute. And they built a house, and they're supplying it with a well. But they
Epic
have
fail.
This huge water tank. It's like 8 gallons a minute. That could go dry like that, and you basically have to move. 8 gallons a minute.
Yeah, this has been, this is an unprecedented first time ever in ACID history. So for 108 years. It's not been a problem. And so this is affecting property values. And if it happened once, what will it happen again? Maybe next year? Next year?
Yeah.
And this
well,
is
last year there were curtailments last year too, weren't there?
We did. We were curtailed back to 75%. That's what the contract allows is in a Shasta critical year, it's called. They can drop us back to 75%. They did. We managed fine. We had to, you know, work at it.
But it sounds like most of the people didn't really notice a 75% when you guys were at 75%.
Didn't even notice.
But then when you go to 18% and you can't get the water to them,
they may have noticed by end of August or early September, but we had that late or that early fall rain, and it carried us through.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And we thought, oh, hey, this bodes well for the rest of winter.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was all excited.
I was excited.
Yeah. And that was the end of it. Oops.
And last year we were able to, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we were able to reschedule that October water into April. Mm-hmm. And so we just cut off earlier to meet our 75%.
Right.
A lot of times by October it's time to go deer hunting and people are sick of
tired. October is not a high demand. It's not a high demand month for water, is it?
No. Not normally. No. April is.
April.
Yeah, because everything's starting at that point.
Mm-hmm. That first cutting to pay is critical.
So you guys send emails to people, you send letters to people, you have a website that's up with all this information, you have meetings. It seems like you have meetings all the time, but but how often do you really have them?
Once a month, our regular meeting, but we've had, six
a month now?
Yeah, I was going to say, meetings. It seems like all the time.
And we've had town hall style where we give answers to people's questions, and we just one by one, as long as they are there, we are sitting there. Mm-hmm. Had our lawyer come up, drive up here. He's from Oroville, and he just stood there and took their questions and answered them until they were satisfied.
We've been trying to put on a larger town hall type meeting with experts from different water divisions, and we thought we had that ball rolling, but many of them have said, our board of directors have said, don't get involved. So we're still...
Well, they're all going to be in the same boat. Yeah.
They don't want pardon the pun, hot water. But,
It's going to be too sweaty in
there. We're in this alone. We're in this against those people who want
But you're not the only water district that has this. So now you have these other ones. I know we're into the last minute, but...
139 of them facing the same thing.
But you got a whole bunch of other water districts. Yeah. You're absolutely not the only one. And you have a lot of them that haven't been smart about their money or their upkeep or all those things. And so their physical infrastructure is not in great shape. They haven't handled their finances all that well. And now they don't have any water either.
Right.
So are you guys doing all sorts of projects now that you can do at least?
We're going to be wise about it. We want to leverage our money with grants, like 50-50 cost share, so that we can stretch every dollar as far as we possibly can. And until we get more confidence with what our next year will be, we're not going to blow through. That's just, I'm only 20% on the board. But
like save it in reserve in case you have the ability to buy water.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming in. And I know an hour goes really, really fast.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
To get our voice out there and message.
So the commercial-free archive will be posted at wethepeopleradio.us. Good job, Bill.
Oh, thanks.